Mark 5, we're going to look at verses 21 through 34. Specifically, verses 25 through 34. Because we kind of got two things going on here, but we'll start where we left off last Wednesday. That Christ had cast out the legion of demons from the man that met him in the country of the Gadarenes. So we're going to start off after that miracle in verse 21 of Mark 5. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought Christ greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. So he's completely surrounded, basically almost by a mob. They're following and watching what he's doing. Everything he says and everything he does, is they're watching him tremendously. And Jesus, and then right in the middle of this, as he's going with Jairus to see about his daughter, who's very ill, right in the middle of this is we kind of have an interruption, and that's what we're going to look at tonight. And Jesus went with Jairus. But then in verse 25, a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest a multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And Christ looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before Christ and told him all the truth. And Jesus said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Now, we're going to stop there. It's interesting to note that I will go one verse further, that while Christ yet spake peace and comfort to this woman, because you remember he was going with Jairus to his house and got interrupted. So as he was speaking, there came from the ruler of the synagogue, Jairus' house, a certain one that said, Your daughter's dead, don't trouble the master any further. We'll stop there. We won't actually look at that verse, but it gives you the picture that Christ is going about doing those things which he does, and then he gets stopped right in the middle and then performs another miracle. I guess got 2 points, really. The woman and the Savior. The woman and the Savior. Let's look at the woman. Let's behold her first. We note her condition and her plight, which is very remarkably similar to you and I by nature. Without the grace of God, we are very similar, like this woman. She had this misery, this plague, 12 years. 12 years. Verse 25, there's a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. She sought many remedies, but the only true and correct remedy. She thought she could go about getting get cured by every other remedy other than what we know to be the only true remedy. She suffered, verse 26, many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had had, monetarily, everything, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. And this is exactly like what you and I, from human nature, that is religion without Christ, at its worst. You go and you sit and the gospel's not preached and you think you're getting better and you're not getting better at all. And you're probably given to the cause. You could be, you know, some places, some fundamentalists, they'll want you to give them everything. And there's many stories in this country about those who are promised healing and help and spiritual growth and how to keep their marriage together and how to raise your children and all these things. They spend all that and then the preacher, whoever it is, the spiritual huckster, leaves town and they're not any better. And nothing solved, and they're actually worse. And actually, when a person who is religious and doesn't know Christ and goes where there's no gospel or goes where the gospel's not preached, be it whatever denomination you want to title it, that is exactly what is going on with these people, is that they listen and they listen and they're ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of Christ because he's not preached. And actually, they're getting worse. They've got the scriptures wide open, but they're growing worse. They're going farther and farther and farther away from the gospel. But then look at her situation again. She suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. And when she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. When by grace we are made to see our vile, helpless condition, we then are made to seek the true cleansing or the true cleansor. And oftentimes the Lord will let us do everything until we are bankrupt. And we've got nothing else. We've tried all of our works. We've tried to make all of our decisions. We've made all of our promises. And we've broken all these things. We've made all of our resolutions that we're not going to do this. We're not going to do that. And we cannot control the old nature. We can't control the tongue. We can't control the stony heart. We do all these things. And then when God's grace causes us to know our condition, she said, if I can just touch his clothes, I'll be made whole. And this is not, you know, this is not free will. This is not all these different things, because she's free will. Actually, if you want to free will, the beauty, or not the beauty, but the explanation of free will is seen in verse 26. She spends all she had. She did all her thing. And was nothing better, but rather grew worse. But look at verse 27. This is the way the scripture is worded. This is not merely the writings of men. This is the inspired word of God with no error. Verse 27. When she heard. Heard. Here we go again. When she heard. Heard of Jesus. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing the word of God. Come as you are. Don't seek to hide your condition, because she touched Christ and immediately she knew she was cleansed. Christ stops, turns about, says, somebody's touched me. They said, what are you talking about? There's people touching you all over. And Christ looked around about to see her, what was done. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. When God begins to deal with you and deal with me, this is what we're going to do. We're going to hear the gospel. We're going to hear of Christ. And by his super abounding grace, makes us whole. You don't have to tell that person how vile they are. She knew, you know, and I know. But we're going to confess him. He's going to see to it. There's no secret Christians. Okay? There's no Nicodemus is where they come at night and don't want to be seen. And I don't want to be seen with this small group of fellowship. This small group here at Sovereign Grace Church. No. We drive in with the lights on. Park the car. It doesn't matter. Bruce used to, you know, he'd go to, when he was with Frito-Lay, and oftentimes, you know, he'd drive, he'd go right after work, there's that Frito-Lay truck. He never parked it behind the building so nobody could see who that was. Hey, I saw your truck. What's there? Let me tell you. So We're going to confess. Come as you are. Don't seek to hide your condition. You will, once for all, confess Christ before all. And she, and the woman's fearing and trembling and knew what was done in her. Verse 33, she fell down before him and told him all the truth. Now, remember, he's being thronged by people. So this wasn't done in a corner. We're going to confess him. We will confess him. And I'm going to jump ahead. But you're here tonight. If you're here tonight for the right reason, what you're saying when you come here Sunday and Wednesday for the right reason, if God's opened your eyes, you're saying there's no other place in this town, there's no other place in this county where the gospel is preached. If there is, tell me and let's join with them. Instead of, you see what I'm saying? But what you're saying, you're confessing, if God has opened your heart to the truth, you're here individually. I can't believe for Melinda. Melinda can't believe for me, etc., etc. You're here by God's grace. If it's by God's grace, the reason is to glorify and honor Him. And you're saying to this community, this is where the gospel is preached. And by saying that, you're saying, well, we don't have fellowship with this. We don't have fellowship with that. Right here. Healing and faith will produce fear and trembling or awe. Then that we will bless him in public confession. There's no free will here. There's no free will. As I said, the free will is found in verse 26 where she spends everything she has. And it grows worse. Why do we ascribe... I was listening to a message the other day and I thought this was really good. Some old preacher in Louisville, Kentucky. He's since passed away. He made this comment about people who believe in free will. He said, why do we ascribe the absolute weakest part of our humanity as the contributing factor to our salvation, and that is our will. Because your will and my will is so weak. Say, I'm going to come Wednesday night, and something happens, and you can't make it. Well, if your will is so all-powerful, how come you see what I'm saying? So I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to eat that, I'm not going to be tempted by this, and you just fall. That's your will. But now, wait a second. If your will is free and is so powerful that you can choose or reject, and we can't, but it's amazing, those who understand the gospel of God's grace, we're absolutely amazed that those who believe in free will, what they're saying is they ascribe the absolute weakest part of our humanity to contribute to their salvation. And the message that I was listening to, the gentleman made the comment that years ago, there was that, I think, Lay's commercial that says you can't just eat one. You remember that, Bruce? You can't eat one. And then had it sitting there. My dad tried that, and he ate three. Well, that's the will. Wait a second. Our will is influenced, a little money, a little lust, a little smell, a little hunger, whatever it might be, and it just crumbles. She fell down and worshiped, told all the truth. I love how that's worded there, verse 33. Because we're just looking at this particular point, the woman, her condition and her plight and her situation, a sinner being brought to the grace of God, by the grace of God, to the Redeemer. She feared and she trembled. She knew what was done in her. You can't tell me that, I've always believed. No, you haven't. No, we don't. He crosses our path and we know what was done in us. We might not have a full understanding, but we know that we were lost and now we're saved. We were blind and now we see. She knew what was in her and she knew why. That's why she fell down and worshiped Christ. She didn't say, well, you know, I decided I'd go. No. We'll see here in a minute when we look at the Savior. She was one chosen from before the foundation of the world. But she, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before Christ and told him all truth. That's what prayer is. That's what confession is. That's why you don't need to tell me. If you want to, I suppose that's okay. I can't forgive your sins. A priest in a little booth can't forgive your sins. No man can forgive sins but the Lord Jesus Christ. But that, this is true worship and true prayer, is telling back to God what He already knows. All the truth. She told him all the truth. She told about herself. And she told how Christ's virtue made me whole this very instant. Anything that she said about herself was negative. Was, I'm this and I'm that. Not, I'm without me. Or this world doesn't turn without me. Or this job can't continue without me. No, she says, I'm nothing. And I spent everything I had and I was worse. And I know that, and I confess my sins. It's just such a beautiful picture. So that's the woman. Now let's look at the Savior. First of all, he's in a mob. He's thronged on every side. That's the picture. He's going with Jairus. He's going to perform a miracle for Jairus, and only Christ can do so good and so great while he is going to do good and great things. You know, you and I, we get sidetracked and we can't remember what. But Christ was going to do good and great things, and he can still do good and great things in between interruption. What do I mean by this? I mean his grace is more than sufficient for 1,000 of your woes and my woes. It's more than sufficient for 1,000 heartaches, more than sufficient to atone for a lifetime of sin. You cannot exhaust the grace and mercy in our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that good? You fell today. You sinned today. And I did too. And we don't want to talk about it, but it was a lot. You cannot deplete the reservoir of grace in this man, Christ Jesus. Confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us. We fall. He raises us back up. But look at what he says. He's going. She touches him. He stops. Verse 30. Immediately, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who? Who? Singular, particular, distinguishing, one person, one chosen elect, all others pass by, because God's grace is totally sovereign and particularly distinguishing. His grace and mercy is for the sin sick and weary soul. He stopped and he says, who? One particular sinner is going to be made whole. And they saw the multitude thronging and they said, what do you mean who's done this? The disciples just said, there's all these people and you're saying who? Oh, I'm so thankful. It's not a universal, general, just a universal. Anybody that wants to be saved, or he died for everybody, or he loves everybody. Incidentally, I've listened to a CD. I would highly recommend it. Don Fortner preached a message on if Christ died for everybody, then what? And he basically has got 14 reasons why that is so preposterous and utterly contemptible and blasphemous to even think that God loved everybody and Christ died for everybody. And I said, who? Now, there was many people touching him. Nothing happened. But when an awakened sinner comes to Christ by his drawing and his enabling and his grace, we're going to get what we need. And that's his righteousness. Virtue from him. You see that? We've got no virtue. That's what that's saying. He has all. Virtue and righteousness. And everything that God requires of us is in him. And found only in him. Is not this why you and I are here tonight? Because we must hear of Him, of His free electing grace. Look at what He says here. There's four things and I'll close. He called, in His conversation with this woman, four things. I think it's beautiful. The last one I got is just, I was telling Linda about it. I was having a hard time sleeping the last couple nights because of some situations. And I'd wake up 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, and worry about this and worry about that. It wasn't the elections. I probably should have been, but it's what it is, it's what it is. But it was things at work and letters I've gotten and things like that. But then these four points, and then I would just smile and I'd go back to sleep. And then I'd think about what I got to do at work and this problem, and then I'd wake up and then look at the clock and I'd think, He says, go in peace. And then I'd sleep. And I told Linda, I woke up that morning and I said, when I think of this world and the things of this world, it's trouble. But when I look to Him in this book, there's peace. It's really that simple, isn't it? You know, Bruce read the scriptures the other day. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Or know that the fact that, you know, He takes care of all the things and you're greater than the birds and the flower of the field. Don't worry about tomorrow, this and that. Just read that. It was scriptures. He made no comment. You just read it. And both of us were like, that's all we need. Let's go home. I probably didn't even need to preach. That was it. You can't find that anywhere. You can't find that in a classroom. You can't find that at work. You can't find that punching the clock. You can't find that anywhere. And the believer knows that. We just have to be reminded. Four things. Look at his conversation with her. The first thing he says, verse 30, we're going to be 34. And Christ said to her, daughter. Daughter. Now. Everybody in this room knows what that word means. Now. Nathan and Sarah didn't know what that meant several months ago. And Matt and Tara didn't. And Bruce knows. And Lynn and I know. Daughter. We just got one. Apple of our eye. The apple of your eye. I can't remember. It was the first time I went in to the hospital, St. Francis. I couldn't go in to see the babies. Nathan met me out there. And he goes, she's got me right here. And I said, well, that was quick. Daughter. No more an orphan. Issue of blood. Nobody wanted to talk to her. They'd take her money. Couldn't help her. He calls her daughter. She's no more an orphan. She's no more a fatherless, diseased spectacle. Right? In the law, get away from us. You're unclean. But so the fourth, these terms, these endearing terms, daughter. That's beautiful. Secondly, thy faith. So called because Christ has given it to her, and this faith will return unto Christ in full exercise of trust. I've given it to you, your faith. She's not boasting, well, yeah, I did it. No. This endearing term, daughter, thy faith. He's given it to her. Thirdly, hath made thee whole. Whole. Complete. We serve not a partial redeemer. He reclaims and renews the whole sinner. The law is completely honored. Don't go back to it. He satisfied it all. His decree is totally established in the person of Christ. The sinner is fully pardoned. What an endearing word. Daughter, thy faith, your whole. But last, and to me, is what caused me to sleep well. Go in peace. Go in peace. What a closing message. We are born in sin, which means we're born in war against God and against Him. Yet He says, through me and through His grace and by His words and by His actions and by His person and His worth, go in peace. We're not war anymore. Oh, the economy is still a mess. But what really matters is your relationship with Christ. Go in peace. Agitation on every side with this woman, and so with you and I, within and without. Yet He says, go in peace. From shame, this woman went to open identification with the Redeemer. No more to be shunned, daughter. From misery to comfort. From vile corruption to the cleansing fountain that is Christ Himself. From fatherless to a family that no man can number. I got a phone call, like I said, this morning, Rocky Mount, Virginia. Got an email the other day from Donnie Bell. Just appreciates stuff. Got an email from New Jersey, the new group out there. Pastor out there, Clay Curtis, just thinking about you. Got a call from Marvin Stoniker. Who are these people? They're our family. They're our family. From sorrow to joy. Sinner, go in peace. What wonderful words. I need to hear that every day. Rejection. From rejection to complete and total acceptance. Internal war this woman must have had to a glorious peace. I tell you, and I try to comfort myself with these words, if you know Christ and you're in Christ, no matter what happens, He says to you, go in peace. Nothing can touch you now. Nothing can harm you really and truly. You are absolutely safe in the Master's arms. I'm not saying we're not going to be tried. I'm not going to say we're not going to see death and sorrow and sickness and cancers and these. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying in it, go in peace. All is well, and well is very, very peaceful. Isn't it? Somebody says it's well. And when the kids, they're little and they're upset. If Carrie would come home from school, something would happen, he'd be upset. Outside, stumble, nick the finger, cut the foot, come in, you know, came right in, and you, it's all right. It's okay. Wrap it up. Kiss it. Go in peace. And boy, they came in just, you thought somebody chopped their arm off. They come in, they're just their face, and you get them all they care. And they're just, whoo, not a care in the world. And that's what the believer is when we see that we're His children. We have faith because He's given it. We're made completely whole. There's not a partial redemption, a full redemption. And He says to you and I, in as His bride, you and I, as His children, go in peace. May God give us grace to simply trust and believe. Bruce, would you close us, please?
Our Heavenly Father, it's wonderful to be able to experience this.